Okay, I'm just going to put this at the beginning of the show before the song today.
Okay. Did we ever pay for that song?
We will never pay for that song.
Oh, I think we'll pay for that song.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby with traffic and weather. Traffic is loud and weather is beautiful.
Weather is beautiful today.
Yes.
It's absolutely pouring with rain. Clouds are out. Thunder and lightning. And toads are falling from the sky.
That's right. It is the apocalypse. This is the only podcast taking place during the apocalypse. All the others have scurried to their bunker and they are licking their wounds and they are sore afraid.
They're so afraid. I don't think that toads falling is a sign of the apocalypse, by the way. It's one of the seven plagues.
Oh, okay. That's right.
But not a sign of the apocalypse.
Right. So it was seven plagues. So the seventh one was the luckiest of the plagues. By the way, we're torturing a dog in the background.
This sounds like someone must have left their dog tied up outside.
Yeah. Well, here's what I was told. I was told a dog's plaintive howls will keep people interested in a show because they'll always want to know, how's that dog? Is that dog doing okay?
Yeah.
I hope that dog gets freed. Is the dog, how is the dog? They will not stop listening to the show now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying something new to keep people listening, yeah. Dave. That's all I'm doing.
Sneaky Dragon, we're coming to you today from the Vancouver SPCA.
Yeah, we got a beautiful dog here that we want to adopt. His name is Larry. Now, Larry is what we call a racist dog.
Oh, and
what is that? He does not like any race.
Is that right?
That's right, at all.
Okay.
So he's an equal opportunity offender. Mm-hmm. Doesn't care for white people as much as he doesn't care for anyone of any color.
See, that's so strange because I thought that dogs were colorblind.
They are, but not socially colorblind.
Not metaphorically colorblind.
Anyway, so we're looking at putting this guy up for adoption. He is 37 years old. We have kept him alive by means that we shouldn't have. He is just begging for the sweet release of death, but he is adoptable, and he's here at Vancouver SPCA. So if you want to just come and pick up Larry, he is here. Put him out of his misery.
You do have to pick him up because he can no longer walk.
Oh, he can no longer walk.
Cannot.
He is mostly liquid.
Yeah, he's mostly liquid at this point. He has to be transported in a small wheelbarrow wherever you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also have a hamster who is very confused about the political situation in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he's looking for you to explain it to him. What does a government shutdown in the States mean? He has no idea.
He has no idea at all.
Yeah. So if you want him, he is also here. And if you don't want him, we have a snake that we'll feed him to.
Good.
I always feel bad, like when I see pet stores and they got a snake and then you see mice over there. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, who makes the cut?
You gotta buy them as quickly as possible.
That's right, yeah. Same with aquariums where you see like the fish and you're like, these are feeder fish, aren't they? But, you know, they're cheap. So you buy 10 of them. Why not? I always feel it's a big guilt trip whenever you go to a pet store.
Do you have an aquarium?
What's that?
Do you have an aquarium?
I probably should.
Because you're buying them. You just take them in a bag and release them into the sewer.
No, I just keep them in the bag. Am I supposed to take them out of the bag?
Eventually.
Well, it seems like nature's aquarium, a bag.
It does. It's
exactly. What's the difference? You see through it's full of water. How do they know the difference?
That's exactly right. Well, the problem is they need, if it's depending how big the bag is,
they need
that much room to swim around in a circle.
That's right.
Otherwise, they get dizzy and die.
What if I drop a castle in there?
Drop a castle in there. It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine, but not a deep sea diver.
I've seen a couple of times there used to be a pet store that sold fish up the street, and you'd often seen people with bags of goldfish in their bicycle baskets driving down the street with a fish. And that must be a weird experience for a fish.
Yeah.
One, you're riding and you're going way too fast to be a fish, and you're in a bag. That's a weird time.
I think they don't even know what's going on.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. I'm sure there's no way.
It's just like us hurtling through the universe. We have no concept of, we could be in a giant bag.
But it's a little different. Like, there's a difference between
the universe is in a bag in someone's bike, and we are going, you know, down the street. We don't know it.
But you haven't, all right, your situation has not changed. Like, it was used to, I'm in a tank, I'm with other fish.
Now I'm in another tank.
I get it. Well, you're in another tank, but now you're like, whoa, what's the deal? Like, all the water's moving weird.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
There'd probably be a bit more turbulence.
Mm-hmm. Hmm? Let's just say, life's hard if you're an animal on this planet.
Yes.
Any animal on this planet, it's not great
for you. What about humans? Life's hurt all
around. We can complain about it, whereas I was going to say that animals don't, yet we've got a dog outside that clearly is complaining about it.
He is plaintively complaining about his situation in life.
Right. I've not heard from him, though, in the last few seconds.
I guess his master has returned.
That is the best case scenario.
That is the best case scenario. Where someone got really sick of him.
Yep.
And has ended the problem.
Yep.
Thank you.
So how you been, Dave? How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Fine. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm a big ball of stress.
You've been...
Because I got to go on a tour next week.
Yeah.
And I got to spend many hours in a car. And I don't care for that.
Well, this is a good time for plugs then, since you're bringing it up.
Well, you wanted to save plugs for the
end. It's all right. It's okay.
All right. Next week, I'm going to Kelowna. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Vernon. And I'm going to Nelson with the Roman Danilo Ultimate Comedy Show. And I'm going to be there with my sketch group, Tip
Mouse. So this is his final show?
You know what? I don't think he knows what ultimate means.
Oh, okay.
And I don't want to tell him.
Okay.
I feel the same way as I do about Marvel's Ultimate Comics. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tell them that means you last.
Don't want to write to them?
No.
Dear sir?
No. Or madam.
Or madam.
Yeah. So we're going to be there, and we're going to be doing some sketch. We're going to be doing some improv. Roman's going to be doing some stand-up. We've also got the comedy group Mirage, who are really funny. And so they're going to be good shit. Like, listen, here's the thing.
So you're all traveling together in one car.
Solving mysteries.
With a ladder.
Solving mysteries.
Oh.
With a monkey called Reginald, who's a real snob.
Did you get him at the Vancouver SPCA?
I did, and he's got a monocle.
Okay.
And he's always going,
does he?
Tis.
Does he wear a top hat?
Not in the car.
Okay.
Can't fit him in the car.
Yeah.
No, we're in two cars. Mm-hmm. I'm petitioning for a van that carries us all.
Yeah.
That's going over not well. Like, we had the
did
debate.
Did you try I petition on the internet?
I did.
Okay.
But I seem to be voting for something Syrian related.
Okay.
And I think I seem to be pro-genocide. I don't know how to fill out the fucking form.
Yeah, that's
I feel
a
terrible about it.
That's a problem.
But yeah, we're going to be jammed into cars, and we're going to be driving long, like basically 4 to 5 hours a day. And I do not, like, the shows themselves are going to be fine.
Yeah.
The shows themselves are going to be fine, and you should go to them, by God. Like, they're going to be very entertaining shows.
If you live anywhere near Kelowna.
No, I say go. Just hop on a Greyhound bus.
I should go as well. I should go as well.
Yeah, get on a Greyhound bus.
Should I drive my car there, or should I take the bus?
You know what? Here's the thing about the Greyhound bus.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So relax.
Yeah.
Stop off at the many stops along the road and get some beef jerky and watch a movie or something. Complain about something on your Twitter.
To be honest with you, there's nothing worse than a long bus ride. I don't care if there's Wi-Fi.
Is that right?
Have you ever gone on a long bus ride? What's the longest bus ride you've gone? Like on a Greyhound?
3 days.
3 days?
Solid. Waking up on the bus, falling asleep on the bus. Yeah.
Where were you going?
I came from New York, and we came all the way to Vancouver.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. 3 days.
That's awful.
Yeah. Top that.
No, I can't.
There we go.
I can't.
I'll say to you what I said to Mr. Topham Hat. Top that, Topham Hat. What a weird reference that is.
Yeah, thanks.
Thomas the Tank Engine Slam. There is no one that works
for. I can't beat that. I mean, I have done an overnighter on a bus.
Yeah.
I spent an hour layover in Prince George, which is quite charming at night. But I can't say 3 days. That's awful because this is the day. Like,
no,
the day
I used to do 12 hours because I would go to Nelson every so often.
Okay, okay.
And that wasn't too bad for me because I would just bring a book and I'd read and I'm fine. But if you have to spend like overnight on a Greyhound,
that
is no good.
No, no.
You're absolutely right. But being jammed in with the fellas in the car, as much as I like these lads, and I do, they're all funny. It's going to be a good time. But it's too much time in a car.
Yeah.
Way too much time. It's basically driving to Portland every day, you know? On that to me. But then I don't drive, so I you can't complain too much.
Since you're a leech, you can't complain. Since you're just a suckerfish on the side of the you're a lamprey on the side of the ultimate Roman Danilo comedy festival.
Exactly. Sorry. When we're going into plugs, we got a big plug.
We have a big plug.
All right, let me lead in with my smaller plug, which will then build to the big plug.
Okay.
Well, I'll toss it over to you. When it's time for the big plug.
Toss your big plug over to me.
I'll say to you what I said to Mr. Plug 'em Hard. You will not... Which is not...
Thomas the Tank Engine?
It's a spin-off of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Stanley the Steam Engine.
That's right.
Okay.
A lot of going into tunnels, a lot of symbolism.
Yes.
Very... played well in Europe, not so well in North America.
Yeah.
Okay. So, end of this month...
The book, The Little Engine That Fucked.
That's not a pun. That's not, oh my lord. Oh, my Lord. This is why Dave lost his job naming porno parody movies. Star Wars, what do you got? Fuck Wars. Dude, just try harder.
Read as the last fuck.
Yeah, on Golden Fuck. So the only reason that comes to mind is because...
Good luck, Chuck Fuck.
Only On Golden Blonde was a movie that someone I know had. And it was like, why would you make a parody of the movie with Henry Fonda and
Catherine Hepburn?
Like, is that who you want to see with the... Yeah. Like, I get the Jane Fonda bit, but it's... Ugh, what are you going to do? Anyway, end of the month, October 30th. You're thinking, is that Halloween? No, you fool. It's Halloween Eve. But hey, if you want to wear costumes, you can do so to this. I've got the Critical Hit Show going on, which is our live Dungeons & Dragons store. I like that
Halloween is an Eve.
Yeah.
But now we have a Halloween Eve as well.
Yeah, Halloween Eve.
It's a penultimate Eve. Yeah, it's a double Eve.
Double Eve. So we're going to... And one of the fun things that we do on Halloween, normally we don't dress up in our show, but we always dress up for a Halloween.
Okay.
And we might dress up extra fancy because the idea behind this show is we're all on the lam for killing someone. So, you know, accused of a crime we didn't commit. What are we doing? But if you show up in costume, we might have some fun as well.
Are you searching for a one-armed goblin?
We will see. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, no spoilers.
So you come down to that show, and I think, I don't know what it costs, $7-$8, something like that? Much less than a movie. Good times had by all.
I think it is.
I know you get a free ticket to come in. So you...
Sometimes.
Oh, but sometimes you pay.
Sometimes I
pay. You don't have to. That's a choice.
I know. Well, last time I went, I was told I wasn't on the guest list.
Is that right?
And so I paid. And then Eric came along and he's like, oh, did you get in? Did you tell me you're on the guest list? I said, yeah, but I wasn't on the guest list. He goes, you're always on the guest list. And he was so mad.
Yeah, and I'm mad now, too, that you've told me that story. Anyway, so come see that show. I'm in it. And then you're like, okay, well, show's over. Time to go home. No.
No.
Stay in your
seat. Wait,
what? Or go use the bathroom quickly and then come back.
Okay.
Because immediately following the show at 10 o'clock, we've got what, David?
We've got, I don't know. What are we talking about? I was not paying attention. We've got the 100th anniversary.
No, nope, not 100th anniversary. That would make us very old men.
The 100th anniversary of the 100th episode.
The 100th week anniversary. And it's a pretty weak anniversary. Let's try this again. How did I know this would fuck up? Okay. So, you're finishing up your Critical Hit Show. You're sitting in your seat. You got, you're like, I could use some more popcorn. Mm-hmm. You go get some more popcorn.
Okay.
And, you know, and you come back. Hey, what's happening at 10 o'clock, Dave?
Well, because you were standing in line for so long, you actually missed the beginning of the 100th. It's not the anniversary again. Mm-hmm. It's our celebration of the 100th episode of Sneaky Dragon. We're doing a live show at the Rio Theater here in Vancouver. So wherever you are in the world, please feel free to fly in. Don't take a bus. Fly here.
Be classy about it.
Yeah.
Get the Concorde. I know it doesn't run anymore, but they still exist. Make them an offer. Yeah, make them an offer. What are they? It must be like two of them kicking around still.
Sure, they're safe. And come to the Rio Theater. The show starts... You can come before 10, obviously. The show starts at 10, right? Is that a plan?
Well, I would advise you to come and see the Critical Hit Show.
Yeah, come and see the Critical Hit. Oh, that's right. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. But then stick around for this. But if you want to just come to this, if you show up like around 9:30, just say you're just coming to see the Sneaky Dragon thing, in for free.
Yeah.
We'll tell the guy at the door, let you in.
Yeah, we'll bribe him for you.
Yeah, we'll bribe him with some popcorn. I get the popcorn free, so
and
it's fine.
So we're going to have two guests. So far, we have two guests.
Wait, are they special guests?
We have two. I don't know. They're not that great.
No, that's fair enough. Good point.
We have two guests on the show.
We got two jerks.
You can see slobs coming on the show. One is...
And we're going to give them makeovers.
former guests of the show, Ben Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Mills is visiting. He's a stand-up comic, as you know, Ian. I think you know that, right?
I do.
And so he's going to do his act, and we're going to talk to him.
Is he going to talk about baseball?
I hope so.
Boy. And then maybe I won't show up to this one.
It's the height of baseball right now. This is the championship.
Yeah, so everybody, this is the height of baseball. It doesn't get any better than this.
No, it's been a good year this year, and they brought in the whole new wild card system where they had like one-off games at the beginning of the wild card to narrow the field down a little bit. Now it's into the
regular. They release a wild animal halfway through every game as well.
And he's got a card. And so, and our second guest will be David M., another former guest of the show. So it's kind of a theme, right? So he's going to come on and he's going to play some music for us. And we'll also chat.
From what band would I know this fellow from?
You would know David M. from the band No Fun, who were very well known, I think, in Canada more than anywhere else. But yes.
If you want to look up...
So go ahead. College... Please. the college
dropouts.
Favorites.
They're college dropouts.
College radio favorites. No fun. Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to look them up online, the Beatles of Surrey is a good way of doing that.
Yeah.
And so David M., any relation to Erica M. from Much Music?
Shorter name.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just goes with the letter.
He just goes with the letter.
He's such a James Bond fan. He has named himself after the character M.
That's right.
He loves Judi Dench.
Loves Judi Dench.
I mean, who doesn't? There ain't nothing like a dame. Nothing in the world.
Like a dame.
Yeah.
She's a dame fine lady.
Who's your favorite M, by the way, in James Bond?
I don't care.
Oh.
Why?
Wow, that makes the show kind of rough when you take that attitude.
Well, who's your favorite M? Who's your favorite M?
I don't want to act like I care now, like it's a big shot. Jeez.
Who is your favorite M?
Who's my favorite M?
Yeah.
I think it is Judi Dench, frankly. I also like the guy, I don't know what his name was, but I like the guy in the first James Bond and Dr. No, who's just like giving James a browbeating and just like, yes, you big screw up boob. Here, don't lose this one, you jerk.
Oh, did they change? Did he change? The M changed to a different M in the later Sean Connery ones?
I'm not sure.
I thought it was the same actor all those times.
I don't know. I just know the guy from Dr. No. I liked him browbeating James Bond.
They're all fine.
Are they?
That's my view.
Okay.
I'm sure they're all fine.
You just can't get a bad M for you.
You just can't, no.
As long as you got that door that looks like an ice cream sandwich, everyone's happy.
Is that what it looks like?
It does. It always looks like an ice cream sandwich to me. I see that door and I go, num, 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 num.
Because it's white in the middle of the door?
It's like, got, it looks like those chocolate.
It's a quilted, has the leather.
Yeah, the quilted, yeah. Leather. It looks like a nice ice cream sandwich. Yeah, delicious. Yeah.
So anyway, back to the 100th.
No, it's ice cream sandwich.
100th talk. Anniversary.
What's the difference between an ice cream sandwich and an Eskimo pie, in your opinion?
What's the difference?
Besides a name that is no longer no politically longer correct.
So if you see anymore. But what is the difference between them? Well, one is round and one is rectangular.
Okay, isn't that true? No, I don't think so. They're both they both can be rectangular, but I think like the Eskimo pie is like a crisp chocolate, almost like when you have a Dairy Queen, you dip cone.
It's okay,
that kind of waxy substance.
Oh, okay.
Whereas an ice cream sandwich has a almost cookie like situation. I think that's a higher quality sandwich. Your Klondike bar is an Eskimo pie style situation.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, or as we call it now, an Inuit brick.
Inuit brick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not be using those old terms. Anyway, please continue. The 100th anniversary show.
The 100th anniversary show, yeah, that we're going to be doing.
Yep.
So, what's this?
Please say a lot of I don't cares on that one,
quickly
too.
Quickly recap.
That night.
9:30.
9:30 show
if
up.
If you're coming up, if you're coming after Critical Hit,
yeah,
we recommend that you come see Critical Hit show.
I do recommend
because
that.
The last show was like the mind-blowing reveal of the evil of Millicent Funch.
Yep.
Who
I'm impressed that you remember the name.
Killed the beloved mayor.
Yep.
Which was great. The reveal was great. It was behind a sheet. She was having her, for some reason, her wedding nuptials, or their wedding nuptials, were taking place behind a bedsheet.
We have had that
with
a little...
an honor guard standing
That's
behind
correct,
them
yes.
on the bedsheet side. So they were actually, although they did turn their
they
backs.
They had their backs.
They had their backs turned, which was fair. And so the sheet dropped. Millicent Funch had killed the beloved mayor.
Yes.
Then the honor guard turned around, of course, because, you know, chaos and kerfuffle was going on. She accused our hearty band of adventurers
yes.
of the murder, and that's where the show stopped.
Right, and I escaped with Spitz Lubin.
That's right. You guys ran like babies.
That's right. We took off.
Well, babies don't really run.
Thinking the other people would be behind us.
Yeah.
They weren't.
Yeah.
The Lockwood, but that's fair. And so we took off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like the other two are Brask. Brask and Etta are now in jail, and we'll see what happens.
Wow.
And we got a murderer in charge of the town, and she's a sexy murderer too.
She's
she
a
looks
sexy
a lot like Marilyn Monroe.
Looks like Marilyn Monroe, and she really
did
a great job with that role as well.
She really did.
Yeah,
you are not wrong, sir.
So yeah, so that's going to be a fun show. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, me
next.
Too. And I'm in it.
So yeah, so yeah, it's fun for you too because you don't always know what's going to happen in the show. So yeah, so long story short, 100.
And we'll have some sort of audience participation. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And we'll have shirts.
We'll have shirts.
And if you can't wait that long for shirts, there's shirts available on our website.
That's true.
Why not buy a shirt and wear it to
wear
the 100th show?
Hey, if you come wearing one of our shirts, you can get in free.
That's true. Just to our section.
Just to
though.
Our show.
Just to our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got shirts, we've got good times, we've got Ben, we've got David, we've got another David, we've got double down Davids.
That's right.
Come on down. So, hey, end of plugs. Done. We're done.
Get those out of here.
Yes.
I'm so good at them, aren't I?
You're excellent.
I'm like the pitch master.
Okay, I'll be you, and it'll be an example. So you send it over to me, and I'll be you.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Here
we go.
All right.
So we got a big plugging up.
Yeah. All right. I think you've proven it. We don't even need to do it the other way. Asked and answered. Okay, done. Moving on.
I'm the worst.
Moving on.
I want to hear your invitation.
All right, go ahead.
Please. Okay. I'll do it properly.
All right, please. You be me.
We've got a big plug.
Professional broadcaster.
Coming up. And I'm going to throw it over to David.
What? I don't care.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now let me tell you the wrong name of it.
That's right. Now I got to go kill that dog.
Hey. That was good.
Done and done.
Hey, did you want to bark into the whole show? People, he gave me the note that said, go kill the dog.
I did. I slid that directly over. No dogs were hurt. No dogs. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Couldn't we love better. Dogs. I have a dog.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What is your, can we say your dog's name, or do we have to do a made-up name like your daughter's?
That's right. His name is Boo Radley.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Does he hide behind a door until the end of the movie?
Unfortunately, his name is devolved to become Booby, which when you come home from work and your dog's in the backyard and you go, hi, Booby, then you feel like, oh, that's wrong. But then, you know, a booby is a bird. And so it's really not.
I'm in a group called Titmouse. I'm not going to judge
you. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Did you see the 80s remake of Kill a Mockingbird where they had Boo Radical?
No.
That was pretty good.
No,
doesn't
I didn't.
Exist. Just making
oh,
that up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Making that up.
I thought it was a real thing.
Nope. Just trying to think of all the different names and see if I could do 80s versions of them. But Boo Radical was the only one I could think of.
Okay.
Radicus. Because Radicus. But that's a play on rad anyway. So I've done one rad already.
That's the only... Because that's like the 80s, the 180 slang that we know that has not come down to us.
Like that has not come down well, you know, to like it, the, that has been dropped?
Because like, yeah, because like the word cool,
yes,
that's an old slang term.
Mm-hmm.
We still use it.
We do.
Far out man, that's gone. Like if you said far out man, people would snicker because they know
you
you're being...
You can get away with groovy, possibly.
A little bit. But
Bruce
you're still,
Campbell has helped us to to hold on to that one.
And there's a level of irony to groovy.
Okay, rad, no sir.
23 Skidoo, nope.
Oh, you kid, the bee's knees, bee's the cat's knees, ass. Yeah,
we cat's can't. Cat's pajamas.
Yeah.
Can't, those are all, their day is done.
Right.
But cool is still a cool word. Like, it's still, if you said, oh, that's cool, people wouldn't go, he's a cool.
Awesome's on the way out, right?
I think so.
I think it has to be. I think within 5 years, awesome will feel weird to have said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about awesome sauce?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
That will last forever.
Yeah. Cool beans and awesome sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my pitch to the Cartoon Network. Cool beans and awesome sauce.
Just,
I have no idea what it is.
You're pitching now.
I'm only pitching a title to them.
But just on this show.
Yeah.
You're just hoping they'll listen.
I think it's a good enough title that they will just pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, I mean, they'll be Googling awesome titles.
Yeah.
You know, as they do. You know, because there's someone whose job that is. And they're going to go, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
Cool beans and awesome sauce.
Okay.
Done. Bought.
I'll make sure it's in the show description.
Please do.
So that's it's Google-able. Google-able?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Googling.
All right. If you ever have a stroke during the show, we will not know.
We will not know. If I say something like, I smell toast,
mm-hmm.
then you'll know
if that, cat,
that someone is making toast.
Yeah. If that cat, that hospital cat that comes in when people are really sick to let you know comes in, then we'll know.
Is there a hospital cat that...
Are you familiar with the hospital cat?
Would that be Dr. Cat?
Yeah, it's Dr. Katz. Okay. That's right, from the TV show. No, there's a cat that if you're really sick, I think actually if you're going to die, the cat like makes his way into your room and sits
to
down.
To steal your breath.
Yeah, and then sells it. Yeah. Sells it online
steals
to people who need breath.
Everyone
like people
knows.
Drowning at the sea, he will sell you some breath.
Everyone knows cats do that.
Yeah.
Steal breath.
They're horrible.
They are. So we had a listener. Well, actually, first we need to do an apology.
Okay, we do an apology.
We start with an apology.
I think we should do a thank you, and then I think we should do a what's that, and then I think we should do the huh-huh, and we'll do that, right? So
first, our apology is to our friendly listener.
Right.
Friendly sneaker,
mm-hmm.
Mary Hook.
Right.
Who is kind enough to give us some grist for our mill, mm-hmm. our endless and hungry mill of a podcast, and said, here's some top 10 movies.
Here's a top 10 of movies.
Not
here's some top 10 movies.
Because
that'd be too many if she gave us a list of top 10 movies.
Okay. Here is a of top of 10 movies.
Right.
Of movies.
And we appreciate things in tens because we are metric, because we are Canadian. Mm-hmm.
We're Canadian.
So please put things in tens.
And so we had, it was quite a list. A lot of good movies on there,
and
I thought.
And we went through how many, Dave?
We went through all
10 of them.
We went through 9 of them, apparently.
We went through 9 of them because one of them was incorrect.
Yes. So we took, she said she loved the movie Apollo 18.
Yeah.
Now, because we are idiots, we thought of Apollo 13, okay, which is the Ron Howard, Tom Hanks,
incredibly popular movie, which is the first movie that you would think of when you're this.
Hey, I've got a don't get defensive.
Oh, I'm going don't, to get. This is an, I'm going to get.
This is an apology.
Defensive.
This is an apology.
You can apologize. I'm gonna bring this lady down. Go ahead.
So rather than, it wasn't Apollo 13 though that she was talking about.
No, she wasn't.
It was a different movie.
Yeah.
Called Apollo 18.
Right. Of course it was.
Because did you know there was only 17 missions under the Apollo name?
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Okay.
And the 18th one
yeah,
is a movie,
right,
a fictitious version mm-hmm of a 18th mission.
And the Apollo 19th, that's the 19th hole, which is the black hole
that's
at the
right
end of all the missions.
That's
and
right.
And it's a spinoff of the Disney movie Black Hole.
Sure. So
no one ever talks about the movie The Black Hole.
And
ever.
So, that's a good movie.
Go the rest of your life. I know it is. But no, go the rest of your life. No one will bring it up.
But yeah, well, you know,
when rest of your life.
When it came out at the same time as Star Trek, the first Star Trek film. Mm-hmm. And my friends and I had a choice to go see Star Trek or go see Black Hole. Mm-hmm. And we went and saw the Black Hole.
Oh, good choice.
And we were right.
You were absolutely right.
We were right. It's
there was
much
also
better
a comic strip based on the Black Hole. Mm-hmm. But yet again, if someone gave you $1 million every time you heard the movie The Black Hole mentioned,
yeah,
you would end your life broke.
What if they mentioned the Black Hole of Calcutta? Would that count as mentioning the movie?
No, sir. It would not.
All right, what if they're talking about black holes in outer space? If they just said, you know, the black hole in outer space, would that count?
No, it would not. What if they were talking about the black fuck hole, which is your porno version of the movie?
Black hole.
The black hole.
It's actually just called the fuck hole. Is that what you said? The black fuck? Oh, forget it. I said the same thing you did.
All right.
Okay, let's get back to the apology. I'm obviously...
Okay, you're apologizing. I'm
obviously
not.
So, yeah, it was our mistake.
We got the movie
it was
wrong.
Our mistake. We got the movie wrong.
Yeah, Dave got the movie
we
wrong.
We talked about it with great expertise. Uh-huh. I said we got the movie wrong.
I know you did, so I corrected you.
Okay. So you got the movie right?
What's that?
You got the movie right.
I don't know.
Because you're talking about Apollo 18. Which is a found footage horror movie
mm-hmm
that takes place on this imaginary moon mission called Apollo 18.
Right.
Where something is out there mm-hmm and it gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
It's outside.
Yeah.
Then it gets inside.
Yeah.
Then it gets really inside.
Gotcha.
And
then there's a bunch of inside jokes that are told that no one gets for the last third of the movie.
That's right. And so, and you know, looks. I haven't watched it.
Of course you haven't.
I'll admit it.
Why would you?
It's, you know, it's an obscure horror film that someone likes. That
exactly. You know. Now that that apology's done, let's get on to that topic. Okay. So what I'm hearing is all the other movies there mm-hmm were your fairly mainstreamy movies.
Yeah.
And then there's one of them that's a little bit different, that's really a bit obscure.
Yeah.
And so we deliver 9 out of 10 fun times. We're going over every movie. We
yeah
are telling true stories from our life. We're bearing yeah our soul.
As
and
always.
At the end of it, we get one wrong. So that would be, we got 90% correct.
Yeah.
And then what grade do we get from her? Hey, you jerks. Like, what? What?
I don't think
first of all, how much does the show cost? Free. Okay. Now you give us your list. How much entertainment do we give you? Like about 20 minutes worth of yip yap a bip bap. And we get the, hey, jerk asses. Nice job, dicks. Why didn't you know that that movie was the thing of this? Boo. Yeah.
Boo.
You talked about the wrong crash. Well, I meant the other one. Anyway, I appreciate her listenership, and she can go to hell.
So that's your apology.
Yeah, this is my found footage.
This is your,
I found some footage of me going, ah, yeah, I misplaced that thank you and found this other note of correction. 9 out of 10, buddy. 9 out of 10.
Well, she works in the Department of Corrections, so.
Okay.
So what was your thank you?
Oh, my thank you was...
I just want to move on, because I feel this is awkward now. I was apologizing, and you were not apologizing.
Yeah, you were being... It's, which is weird, because you are half American. I'm full Canadian. I should be all aboard the apologizing.
You should be all apologizing.
But I still think 9 out of 10, pretty damn good. Good score.
That's good.
What is that? That's an A? That is an A in any school.
Well, it is an A to a degree, but I think...
It's not an A+.
I think discussing a list of films requires accuracy. pinpoint 100% on target accuracy. It's kind of close as for horseshoes and hand grenades, and we were not playing horseshoes or throwing hand grenades.
All right. So it's like the Ten Commandments to you. You got to get them all.
You got to get them all.
Like Pokemon.
You got to collect them all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Now, where I wanted to... I'm sorry.
There, no, right. He's apologizing.
There we go. I just apologize. I couldn't
what are you apologizing for?
I'm apologizing.
The dog?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
What I wanted to say was, and I can't see the name totally, but we had a nice little message on our Facebook page from a gentleman.
Well, it was more like, I guess he... what is it called in Facebook when you put
comment?
When you know you put the name of something like and you link to it or whatever?
Yeah.
Tag it. We were tagged in a comment that he made.
Oh, that's nice.
His name is James David Alford.
Okay.
And he said something really nice about the show.
Which was that he enjoys my work on it.
Yes. He said Ian is the best on the show and David is the worst on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was, but I still enjoyed that it was a comment. It was a, you know, it was a compliment to you.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Well, it was a compliment to you, and I appreciate that.
Well, I think that's accurate. That's fine. Now, he just says that he's just found the show and he's listening to it while I believe him and someone make dinner.
Him and his significant other.
Oh, is that how Mary. He describes? Okay, I just heard the name and I didn't want to say whether it was like, I don't know what the relationship is. Who am I to judge?
Well, they're cooking dinner together. I assume that there's, that seems significant to me.
Really? You've never cooked dinner with a friend?
No.
Oh, interesting.
Never have.
Bruno Gerussi, when he used to host that show, Celebrity Cooks, mm-hmm. and he would cook with someone.
Yeah.
That's never.
They always had sex after.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They had Bruno's boning right afterwards. that's right. Yes. Oh, man. Okay. Well, this mm-hmm. means right now that that he is making dinner while listening to this.
Yes.
If his story holds out, holds true. So
unless he's run out of episodes, in which case he's listening on a Sunday morning.
Oh.
He should be going to church.
That's right, because Dave's very pro Ten Commandments, as we've established earlier. But if you have not run out of episodes yet, and you're listening to this while you're cooking dinner, remember, you don't have to salt as much as you think you do when you're seasoning. Now, ease up. Check the sodium levels. I want you all to be very healthy. It's easy to add a little bit of fiber to most dishes.
Yeah.
You know, throw in a little bit of
bark mulch.
Bark mulch. I was going to go grated carrot.
Okay.
Pads out a That's nice tomato
better.
Sauce.
That's probably better than bark mulch.
And if you're going... This is missing something. Odds are balsamic vinegar will help you out.
Really?
Let me throw that out. For most things, balsamic vinegar will help you out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even desserts. Just reduce it. It's delicious on an ice cream.
Is that right?
It is. All right. But thank you very much for tagging us. We appreciate it. And have a delightful meal.
Yes. From all of us to all of you.
Yeah. We've heard, it's interesting sometimes when people tell us when they listen to the show. Like, mm-hmm. some people listen to it Monday morning before they go to work and they're getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's neat. It's neat just hearing, like, oh, that's a when.
Yeah.
I listen to podcasts when I'm walking. So mm-hmm. it's, like, wherever I'm walking to, that's how I do it. But I like the idea of someone actually, like, listening to it while they're making a meal. That's very pleasant.
It's very nice.
Now, we had another message from someone that you know personally. Someone that you have made dinner with, if you
just
know what
one
I mean.
More, I just want to give one more thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because this is like the thank you show.
I'm hopping around.
If people haven't seen it, I just want to thank Mike Kisos. I don't know how to say your name, so I'm sorry, Mike, who did a great parody of a sneaky dragon.
Could I just say his name?
Sure.
It's Mike Kisos.
Mike. Thank you, Ian.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry. Who?
I'm not done.
Okay. Who was kind enough to... take a photograph from our EXP live show of me in that rather an awkward, embarrassing position as I was demonstrating my so-called farriery skills.
Oh, okay.
And he added a tarp to it, and he has me saying sneaky tarpaulin. So I just want to thank him for that because that was really great.
Do you want to explain what that means? Just for someone who's listening to the episode for the first time and hears sneaky tarpaulin and like, what's that all about?
Oh, sure. Here, I'll explain it to you. Go back 5 shows and listen to the shows.
There you go.
Yeah.
So thanks to Mike Karplitz.
Well, we're going to come to that.
Again,
we're
not done. To what it's about, I'm not right? done. Oh, let me finish.
We're going to come to that.
Stop it. It's very rude. Done.
Sorry, I had to step on your line.
That's all right.
I was going to say, because we're going to have Deck Talk, and it's going to come up anyway. So.
All right, Deck Talk's coming up later in the show.
Yeah.
All right, those of you that have a Google alert for Deck Talk, And have had the show translated and put into print version on your screen. And Deck Talk just came up. It just came up again, and you're like, oh, fast forward to Deck Talk. Yeah. It's not Deck Talk yet.
Not yet.
That will come up a little
It'll
bit later.
It'll come a bit later, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay, you were going to say something.
By the way, Deck Talk, the kind of things like Deck Talk, that's how we last 100 episodes. If you're, a lot of podcasts have not made it this far.
Yeah.
You're like, how do you make it that far? Talk about a deck that you sometimes, and you know, here's the thing. Don't just talk about fixing the deck. Mm. Talk about those weeks when you couldn't fix the deck. Talk about it.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't fix the deck because of rain, take a picture of some rain. Maybe videotape some rain. Put it on our site. You know, that's the kind of thing that gets people coming back week after week. They're like, hey, was there some more rain? Did you not do the thing again this week?
Yeah.
That brings people back to the show.
Did you watch that video?
Oh, of course I did.
Wasn't that crazy rain, though?
I have it on a loop.
It was crazy rain.
The craziest thing was how many lamps you have.
Why?
Way too many desk lamps.
It's a dark corner there. I know there's two windows, but when nighttime falls, there's just absolutely no light there. I'm going to add two more lights when I...
It's light two crazy.
Fluorescent.
You were
fluorescent
just asking
fixtures.
For an attack of flies light? And spiders. Luckily, the spiders will take care of the flies.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like spiders. So you were going to say something, and I interrupted
you. Oh, I was just saying that we had a message from someone who you have made dinner with.
Oh, I have made dinner with.
In the biblical sense.
Yes, that's true. I have biblical dinner knowledge of this correspondent.
Right. So I think
she's my wife.
There you are.
Yeah.
In the biblical sense.
In the biblical sense, she is my wife.
Right. And she has.
That is, she is barren, and God has granted us children.
Nice.
Isn't that biblical?
There's a lot of things in the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we
I also cast her out.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
Well, as you should. And so she sent us an internet message in the biblical sense. and she's got some questions. Like I would think like these would be the kind of questions she would just turn to you in bed at night before you go to sleep.
That's what I was thinking.
But you're there with your novels, with your trollops.
Yeah.
And it's open and you're like, shush.
It's a life of trollops.
Shush, woman.
Yeah.
Hush. I've got reading to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put up the sheet that you have between the two of
that's
you.
Right. And the Wall of Jericho, as I like to call it, a little tribute
that's right.
to happen one night. I say, I am busy with my trollops. That's what I tell her.
Tiptoe through the trollops.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but she's sent us then some questions that she wanted to know answers to. And I think we can get through these questions. I think we can do that. And then we'll make our way to Deck Talk.
Okay.
I'm sorry for mentioning Deck Talk again. So,
we may have to do these in two parts, to be honest with you.
Let's see.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Because
the first
question. The first question's
easy for me because I know what I'm going to answer. Go.
Okay. Okay.
Well, less easy.
Yeah. So her first question is about rock concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Well, rock and roll...
holding a lighter aloft.
Okay. Rock and roll, I know, is a slang term for sex from the 50s.
That's right. That's another one of my porno films. Fuck and roll.
That's so redundant, then.
She asks,
that's totally redundant, because it means the same thing.
She asks, your first concert, your best concert, the weirdest concert you've ever attended, the worst concert you've ever attended, and your last concert that you attended.
Okay, just pepper me with these, and I'll say it fast.
Okay, first concert.
Was Laurie Anderson. I saw it with you, actually. I saw Laurie Anderson.
Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Queen Elizabeth Theater, that's
good
right.
Show.
Okay.
Okay, the best concert you've ever seen.
Best concert I've ever seen was probably They Might Be Giants at the Commodore Ballroom.
Okay. Weirdest concert you've ever seen?
Weirdest concert was maybe Tenacious D, just because they had Neil Hamburger beforehand, and the audience, half the audience knew the gag, half the audience didn't know the gag.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it actually got a little ugly.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think Neil Hamburger would enjoy that.
I think so, too.
The worst concert you've
all
ever
the
seen?
All the rest. I don't like going to concerts. Too many people. I don't care for it.
You don't care for
I don't like the environment. Even when I go see comedy concerts, it's just too many people around. I like going to clubs that are three quarters full and seeing a performer. That I kind of like, where you can relax and actually see something and enjoy.
Okay. Okay. And then the last concert that you were at?
That is so long ago that I could not remember.
You can't remember.
No, I don't much, I really don't like concerts. I don't like going out to a music show.
I'm with you. Like,
what? But you're
the
lover of music.
I do love music, but I really love, like, I love a studio album. Like, I don't like live albums that much. And I do own live albums because I'm a completist and a nut. But I prefer, like, what it sounds like when they've worked on it and everyone, it's like the ideal recording condition and everything's in tune and everyone's singing, they can hear each other.
Yep.
And there's a great There's a great parody of Playing Live by Glenn Gould where he's playing on an oil rig and he's playing this piano on this oil rig and he's being buffeted by winds and waves and all this noise is happening, you know, and to him, that's what Playing Live was like. You know, it's just your piano's out of tune, you know, the audience is coughing and not paying attention. But I have gone to a lot of concerts.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, it's fun to see the band. So when you like a band, it's fun to go and see them. But I have to admit, strange enough, when the girls were younger, we went to a lot of concerts. But now that they're old enough to look after themselves, we really don't go that much anymore. And I think it's just...
Because you like mind games with them. Playing mind games.
I think it's just, you know, it's 10 years on and we're older. And
here's one I forgot that I really liked, which was seeing actually David M. Performing at, what was it, The Elephant? It was something...
The Cruel Elephant.
Cruel Elephant. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed seeing that concert.
Yeah.
You know, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I liked him working through the audience and just doing shtick with people.
Yeah, going into the bathroom.
Yeah. I like singing. All that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought great. that was very enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I'm going to... But I'll talk... So my first concert that I ever saw...
Please.
That my mom took me to. She took me to see Gordon Lightfoot because I really loved Gordon Lightfoot as a kid. So actually, is that the same place that we saw Laurie Anderson, actually?
Queen Elizabeth Theater.
Queen Elizabeth Theater, yeah. Which is a really nice place to see because it's very nice sound and it's a classy joint because that's where the ballet is and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's named after the Queen. There's nothing not mm-hmm. classy.
Not classy at all. The first concert I went to by myself was Motorhead. So I went and saw Motorhead at the Kerrisdale Arena, which was an ice arena. There was no ice during the concert.
Too bad. Would have been interesting.
Would have been a lot more fun. The problem with the concert was that Fast Eddie Clark, who was a guitar player with Motorhead, along with Lemmy and Filthy Phil Taylor. Filthy Phil, the Animal Taylor, the drummer. And that was one of the first times I saw like a double bass drum setup. But the problem was is Fast Eddie Clark quit the band shortly before the tour started. So they had to bring in Brian Robertson, who played with Thin Lizzy, to fill in. And he was nowhere near as proficient a guitar player as Fast Eddie Clark.
And could you tell?
Oh, yeah. The songs were not as good at all.
Okay.
Like, it really lacked the dimension of noise and squalling solos and stuff like that.
Interesting.
And, you know, I was not a huge metal fan. I had a friend who was a huge metal fan, so I went to, like, a lot of metal concerts. I saw Iron Maiden. I saw Judas Priest.
Right.
Which was a really good show. Judas Priest, which I didn't know any of their music. I guess I didn't really know them. But it was a really good show.
That's an interesting way to be exposed to it, actually seeing it live first.
But yeah, they were really good performers and had to put on a really great show for you, you know. And it's like Rob Halford came riding onto the stage on a motorcycle through the amps. You know, the amps opened and he came tearing out. And, so, you know, it was like fun and
it's a concert.
So, yeah,
it should be a concert. That. If you're going to be a concert, be a concert. How old were you at the time when you saw Motorhead?
I would have been grade 10. So whatever age you are in grade 10, 15, I guess.
Sounds about right.
15?
Yeah, sounds right.
Just older. Like, it was the first time my friend and I took the bus down and I went to the show. One of the... So, best.
Yeah, the best concert.
I have a few.
Okay.
Because it's hard to decide. So I wrote them down. One would be... the first one that popped in my head was seeing the Beta Band play at a small club here in Vancouver called Richards on Richards. And that was... Because I didn't know who they were. Once again, I just went to the show because we were at a show the week before and they had a little... handouts on the tables telling us the Beta Band were coming. And I'd heard about them in reading British music magazines and what a great live show they did, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, we got to go see this band.
Right.
And it was a fantastic show. I can't,
what
it's impossible
it
to describe.
Oh, it's impossible to describe.
What made it good was one, they played music that was fun to dance to. So and I always like to stand on the floor and be really close to the stage when I see a band. So
now, were you familiar with their music?
I didn't know their music at all.
Okay.
So they just started playing and, you know, the whole audience just started jumping up and down and enjoying themselves. And it wasn't like, you know, it's not fast music or anything. It's just, it's more kind of funky or kind of dance, like sort of, it's hard to describe. The other thing that was great is that
they could always play a little bit of it after the show.
They all played different instruments. So they would be switching from drums to guitar to bass
cool. All right.
And the other the fun part of it was behind them, the whole show, they had 8mm movies that they'd obviously made on the cheap just for fun playing behind them. So they had stuff like some of them had stories. Some of them were just them goofing around eating dinner. One was them climbing up a hill. And some of them became videos for them. And other ones you never saw again. And so it was really fun. Like it was just a really fun show with really good music. And they did this really, I guess the final song they played was called the House Song. And at the end of the song, and they also had machines that could repeat what they were doing. So they play like a guitar figure and then it would start to repeat. So they could put the guitar down and do something else. So this final song, it's still playing the bass line and stuff like that because it's in the sequencer and it's playing. And then everyone was playing drums of some sort, bongos, or there's two different drum kits on stage. So there could be two drummers playing at the same time. And it was just this great cacophony of noise and excitement. And it was really just a fun show. And it was so nice. Unexpected because I didn't know who they were. That was a real treat. And so you brought up No Fun. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time greatest memories is seeing one of the No Fun Christmas shows at the Railway Club here in Vancouver.
Were you involved in that show, or were you just
I probably did the Linus part in it. Okay. I just did like a small walk-on.
When you say the Linus part, I think you should explain what that means.
So they did a Christmas play.
Yeah.
And they would do a sketch for all, like a skit between intermissions for all their various theme shows. So the Christmas show had a play about how terrible Christmases and Santa's a meanie and stuff like that. And then I would come on stage and do the Linus part, which is, you know, I'll tell you what the real meaning of Christmas is, Charlie Brown. And then I do the part from, I guess it's from Luke. I don't know. So, and I can't remember it anymore now. Like, and they were the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And yeah, and then suddenly there was with them, I can't remember the last part of it, sorry.
But
yeah,
that was still so pretty good.
I would do that part, yeah. It's been a while. So I would do that part. I had a blanket. And sometimes I'd do it when I had chemo and I was bald. I did it as Peter Garrett from Midnight Oil. And I did it as Jean-Luc Picard, but then I turned into Peter Garrett partway through it. It's rather silly. I think that's when you saw The Cruel Elephant.
Okay, because I saw you do Linus at another place that was on Denman, on the corner of Denman.
Okay, the Cafe Django.
That's right. Yeah. So I saw you do it.
So if there. You saw me there, then I also would have been bald at that.
Yeah, I think so.
Chemo,
yeah.
Because I had chemo. So, yeah.
But that is really obscure. Like going like, yeah. You're Linus. Okay, but you're Linus as...
Well, that was the fun because we'd rehearse in the basement, uh-huh. And you would just start goofing around, and then I think
as Picard, but really Midnight Oil.
What the hell? Yeah, I know. Because there was a video at the time, and so I was imitating Peter Garrett in the video.
Oh, I got you. That is so dreamlike. That's exactly what a dream is like. Started as Linus, then all of a sudden it was Picard, and then Midnight Oil. I don't know. Was I bald? You were for some reason.
So in this show, in the second half of the show, David M would change into a nightgown. And a hat, like, so he looked like Scrooge. So he had like the wool cap and a nightgown, a nightdress or whatever. And so for some reason, I can't remember, they had an inflatable Superman. So at the end of the show, he had taken the inflatable Superman and the mic, and he had gone downstairs because the Railway Club was on the second floor.
Yeah.
And he was down on the street talking to people. Someone, of course, tried to bum some money from him, which he had no pockets. He did have a Superman in his hand. And then he left the mic there, and he was walking down the street. This is about 12:30 at night, and he's walking down this Vancouver street at 12:30 at night in his nightgown, carrying an inflatable Superman.
Is this a corded microphone with an incredibly long cord,
yeah,
or is it,
yeah,
wireless?
That's right. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long cord. Okay, yeah. Please continue.
Yeah, the audience members would help by feeding it along for him.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Because you saw the same thing. He just had a corded microphone, and he went into the bathroom.
It's almost like those old timey scuba divers.
Yeah,
and he's just feeding the line. If he does three sharp tugs, then there's some trouble, and you've got to pull him back in.
There was a lot of great No Fun shows, and I always feel like people talk about like seeing the Beatles at the Cavern or seeing the Sex Pistols at the Screen on Green, and I say, well, I saw No Fun at the Railway Club because those were some of the greatest shows I've ever seen. So.
And there's nowhere to see David M. like nowadays, so that's too bad.
It's too bad.
Nowhere you can
go and see him.
Oh, wait, Dave.
Wait.
The Rio Theater on October 30th.
That's right. He's going to be there.
100th show.
He's going to be there. I can't promise he'll be in a nightgown, but he will be there.
I can promise that. Oh, by God, he will be.
So, the worst concert I ever saw, Van Halen.
Who was the lead singer at that time?
David Lee Roth.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They were just... they weren't there for you as the audience. You were there for them.
Right.
They were there to do their stuff on stage and, you know, and then they left.
Are we in the Jump era at this point?
This would have been before Jump. This would have been
the
album before Jump. And I had a friend
to Jump.
Right. That's right. Prepared to Jump.
Squatting. So what it's called.
It's called On the Ledge. So, it was just really dull. Like Eddie Van Halen did this like interminable guitar solo where he would noodle for a while. Then he'd run and jump against his big Marshall stacks. And then he would, you know, kind of jump against him and jump back down. Then run and jump against him. It was just like the same thing over and over again.
He hated those stacks so much.
Yeah, like, oh.
And it's like a game of Angry Birds.
It didn't happen at the show I saw. I had a friend who was at the Jump, the 1984 tour.
Yeah.
and someone threw a shoe at him during his solo. And I don't blame them, because it was boring.
I think there's still no excuse for throwing a shoe.
And the other thing I didn't like about them, which I thought was a bit of a ripoff, and I may have mentioned it before, which is that they would have almost the fix was in on the bands that opened for them, because they would choose bands that seemed totally unsuitable to open for Van Halen. Like when I saw them, it was
Vancouver Symphony Orchestra.
It was after The Fire, who had the hit song Der Kommissar.
Okay.
Like, how does that fit Van Halen? That doesn't. So you got people booing like crazy, you know, hating this band. Mm-hmm. And the reason it is so when Van Halen comes out, they seem like the greatest thing on since sliced bread. But really, they were kind of a so-so club band who were thrown out onto a big stage and had nothing.
Even Der Kommissar didn't play.
No, I'm not talking about After the Fire. I'm talking about when Van Halen came out.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking,
during Der Kommissar. No, because it was the wrong audience.
I get so.
Like, if you had, like, an audience of people who listen to Top 40.
They can't just nod to each other and just go, we got to cut some slack. Der Kommissar is pretty good. I mean, come on, guys. And we got, nope, we're going to
boom. There was no slack.
Get your shoe.
No slack
was cut.
Get your
shoe, Steve. Get your throwing shoe.
I'm sure there was other concerts that weren't that great. But for the most part, like I say, I'm not a, like, once a concert starts, my back starts to hurt. That's what it seems like, right? I insist on standing because I like to be up by the band. But as soon as it starts, like, oh, my back's so sore now. Like the first song in. Oh, and then I'm like, oh, I got to stand here for 40 minutes. And then they're probably going to do an encore for 40. Oh.
My wife really messed up her back at the They Might Be Giants concert. I say it's a concert we went to. Mm. There's a couple of concerts we went to before we knew each other.
Okay.
But we were both at the
concert. Oh, you both at the concert.
And it was at the Commodore, and the Commodore has a bouncy floor because it had, like, tires under the floor.
It was a dance. It was a ballroom.
That really messed up her back. So for quite a while afterwards. Yeah, it was a very bouncy show.
Well, that happened when I went to see the Pogues at the Commodore, because mm-hmm. the audience was so closely packed together that you could almost take your feet off the floor and be carried by the audience. Only other time I've experienced that was that when I saw Metric at the Commodore as well. But what was fun about the Metric show is that I was a guy and it was all girls around me squashing me, so I could just like take my feet off the floor and just sort of stand there. It was amazing just how the pack of bodies, because I was up by the front of the stage, and same with the Pogues. But the floor was so covered with beer bottles that it was dangerous to walk. So you were standing in your back, everyone's sort of bouncing up and down through all these Irish jig songs, you know. And then, and it just felt kind of dangerous because you're just like, oh man, you could land one of these bottles and just lose your. And when I left the concert, I was soaking wet because I was too cheap to check my jacket.
Yeah.
So under my jacket, I was just soaked, just absolutely drenched with sweat from the heat and the jumping around.
Now, the Metric one, where you're the only fellow there, was the band like every so often looking down, big smiles, and they're like, hey, what are you doing here?
Yeah, that's
right. Hey, buddy,
hey, I don't think they could see me.
Yeah, the other.
I was wearing a mustache. I was wearing a mustache, so they didn't recognize me. I learned from the other show I went to see
Metric. Is that Dave? No. That's Mustachios. Mustachio Pete.
Not that guy.
Okay,
again.
So we've answered the
and the last
question.
Concert I went to see.
Oh, last one.
Canned Ham with Robert Dayton or one of our guests.
There you go.
When he was here last, they did a show. They did a reunion show as Canned Ham, so I went and saw that. That was quite good. Mm-hmm. Quite good. Okay.
Canned Ham, which is I believe a tribute to Kill a Mockingbird, where she dresses as ham.
Yes, that's right.
Yep,
that's right. And got drunk.
Right. Which is and then it ties into the Boo Radley thing with your dog.
Mm-hmm. It all ties in
yeah. with everything ties in.
People
to
think
Kill
our show
Bird.
Is stream of consciousness, but no, we carefully
no,
plan
we've got
this.
Rabies.
We
again, it all ties in. It all ties in.
So her next question is just a single word: wombats.
All right, why don't you go with yours, and then I'll go because I started the last one.
Well, Lisa, my wife, if we had our way, if she had her way in our home, we would have baby elephants, wombats. Any other kind of cute animal you can think of, pandas, right. Koala bears. So what she doesn't understand is that they would play hell with the couch. This seriously. Mm-hmm. Our couch would not look like a couch anymore.
There'd be other problems.
There'd
I think.
Be problems.
Yeah, besides yeah. that. Does and she also, want to live in a zoo? Is she is she a circus person?
I don't know. She
grew up around horses, right?
She grew up on a farm. She grew up around cows, horses,
there.
Chickens,
okay, so she's
pigs.
Got the little girl's dream of, most little girls dream of, I want a horse. And there was horses.
Yeah.
So she didn't have that dream. So
she doesn't
had to
understand.
Go, she had to step it up a notch.
Okay.
Like, I want pandas. Yeah. You need something that your dad's going to go, no.
Yeah, I do say that a lot. And I'm not her dad.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
But you're the guy who denies her pandas.
I deny her pandas and wombats.
Now, when I hear wombat, what I think is the wombat comic strip. From Filbert. Filbert?
Filbert.
Filbert, okay.
Or is it Filbrant? I think maybe you're right, Filbrant.
I think so, yeah.
Sorry, I was wrong.
I remember I used to quite enjoy that comic mm-hmm. strip. I liked his art style.
Yeah.
And so that puts me in mind of that.
Okay.
I wonder what that fella's up to now.
Yeah, I often think that
he was doing a lot of spot illustrations for the Georgia Strait.
Yeah.
And and enjoyable.
And he's not anymore?
I don't know.
I don't read the Strait very much.
No one does. No one reads a newspaper anymore.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I still read newspapers, but not the Strait.
That ink on your fingers, that's toxic.
That's fun. Okay. I think we can clear the deck on wombats.
All right.
What would you do if money were no object?
If you sang out of tune.
If you sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Mm-hmm. You would.
First of all, is money an object?
If money were no object, I mean,
if money
no
did not
problem.
Object.
If money was there was no
if I have infinite
issue
money.
With money, if you had infinite money, what would you do?
If that, I have infinite money?
I don't know. If it says I have no object, so.
So what is money stopping me from doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a question.
That
would be my answer as well.
Okay. Well, on the basic level,
okay.
I would like a house. That would be nice. And I would like a studio to work in.
Okay.
I'd say what I'd probably end up doing is I would throw the money into doing films and live shows.
Okay.
I would like to I have a lot of ideas for things that I want to produce, mm-hmm. and it would be nice to be able to produce those things without having to ask for approval from the government.
Yeah.
Or from a corporation or that kind of thing. So I'd say that. And, you know, the old travel around the world as much as possible, which I quite enjoy doing.
Okay.
That's pretty boring, except for creating things. You know what I like?
Creating is boring.
You know what I like is like whenever I see that, who's the fella who did Mariachi? Robert Rodriguez?
Yes.
Yeah, when I see like his studio that he's got for mm-hmm. creating his own films,
and,
you know, he does basically everything himself,
mm-hmm.
Including having affairs on his wife. I wouldn't do that bit. None of that. But
hey, money's no object.
But the rest is... Fidelity is no object. I love that kind of thing. The idea of making your own stuff and then just putting it out there. And I would love to have a theater a la Ryan Stiles' theater in Bellingham where you could do your own shows.
Yeah.
So I look at someone like a Ryan Stiles and go like, that's nice.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Well, I think all of us fantasize about winning the lottery. It's a freeing thing, right? I'm free of this situation, or it'll give you something that you want.
I actually don't. I've got, even though I do buy a lotto ticket just because but just because Pia likes the lotto.
Okay.
I don't just because I would like something that I do to make enough money to, because I think in that way I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas if you win the lottery, you look at like,
you'd say no.
Well, you know, you look at any like articles about people win the lottery.
Yeah.
You're probably going to get fucked up.
Yeah. It doesn't do.
It messes you up really badly, but go ahead.
It is in a way, I guess I can see that because it is sort of survivor's guilt in a way. Winning the lottery.
Yeah, you feel like you now owe everyone around you.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's not money that will keep replicating itself. That's money that will only get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you've won the lottery, so now what do you hope for? Where do mm-hmm. you go from there?
Yeah.
But it's a tough thing to bitch about.
I agree.
Obviously, you want
to. I agree. And I mean, when you say money's no object, I mean, okay, let's take aside the fact that if money was no object, you know, all of my friends and family would have better lives.
Do you think so?
Well, I would help them out.
You would help them out, would that give them better lives?
Well, okay.
Again.
In that sense, yeah, okay, I agree with you.
Here's the thing. Like, this is the fantasy of, say, my
They would have less worries.
My mother-in-law gets money, I get money. That's the way she would like. The second, because there's certain things that she's invested in, and like, if anything of that comes through, she'll let us know.
Yeah.
She's going to, like, give us the money.
Yeah.
But isn't that weird? Like, if you had someone give you money,
mm-hmm.
how's that feel to you as a person?
That's like, fine.
Is it fine?
Depends what they do.
There's a little strangeness to it. If like your brother goes like, "Hey Dave, here's $1 million."
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, that's Phil's. Well, thank you." You said thank you. I will find a home for that. But it's always going to be a little weird next time you see him.
Yeah.
It's like,
because he will give you $1 million next time.
Here's your birthday present. How much do I spend on his birthday present? He gave me $1 million.
That's true.
Here's some tickets to the movie theater.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we'd move away.
Change your name.
Change my name. No, I mean. I'm kind of like you. I don't actually think about winning the lottery that much. Sometimes I do. If it's like a lot of, it's like $40 million. I'm like, gee, what would it be like to win $40 million? What would you do? But to be honest, I'm kind of like you. Like, to me, it would be like things I have would get slightly better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like my house would get, I would have property.
Yeah.
Or I would have like a Cintiq in my studio, you know, and I would have like a real computer that I could do art on that doesn't take me half an hour to wait for things to happen on it because it's a laptop.
Here's the thing. I think you and I are similar in that it's like, you've got money. What will you do with money? And both of us are like, I would make more things.
Yeah.
And most people, when you get the lotto fantasy, I would stop doing things.
Yeah, no, see, that's... Oh, I'd quit my job, but...
You would quit your job?
Yeah.
Because your job takes away time...
Yeah, from being
doing
creative.
Things.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I think that's where...
Take a drink, everyone.
Yeah. I think that, because the siren went by. No, I think that's the problem with people who win the lottery, is the idea of like, fuck it, I don't have to do that no more. But you don't have the fill-in of like, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
So you're left with, I'm not working.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting up. And I'm having my fancy breakfast with the really good waffles.
Yes, fresh buns every day.
Fresh buns and delicious milk,
mm-hmm.
and the finest milk. And now what do you do with your day? You know, go swimming in your pool. Done.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're getting raisiny about 2 hours in. And now what are you going to do?
Yeah. No. I wouldn't.
Watch your big screen TV.
I wouldn't like that kind of idleness, because I'm not a person that likes to be idle. And I'm a person that I'm never bored. Because I always have things to do.
I'm not ever bored either.
Yeah. There's always things to do, you know.
That's something I take a drink as I'm talking about when I was a kid.
Okay.
I remember something from an art class of mine where I had this art teacher, and she was talking about things you do when you're bored. And I went, I'm not bored.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get bored. And she went, I guess you don't, do you? I'm like, no, why would I get bored?
Yeah.
You know, because there's always something to do or think about or what have you. I didn't even have that kid thing where you're just like, I'm bored. That was never me.
Because there's stuff to do.
Yeah.
How do you learn to draw? Because you sat down and you drew, because that was time to.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm excited. There's nothing to do right now, so I can go and draw.
Yeah.
You know, I've done my homework. I can go draw.
I'd say, yeah, what I would say is it would basically, money would pad out comfort for when I'm done with working in the day.
Yeah.
And it would fund the things that I want to make. And it's not, you know, I always like that phrase, fuck off money. But it's like, you know, I'll do it anyway, money.
Yeah.
You know, even if you think this is a bad idea, I would like to do it, put it out there and see what happens.
Yeah. You are like Robert Rodriguez. Mm-hmm.
But more faithful to my wife.
Oh, says you.
And I wouldn't do that Lava Boy and Shark Kid. Probably wouldn't do that film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a bit self-indulgent, I think the word.
But, you know, I'm all for self-indulgence.
Okay, apparently. So the next question kind of ties in, because if money was no object, I would, one of the things I would do would be to buy a particular car that I've always wanted to own. And so I would
buy
that car.
The Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters?
No. So the next question is, coolest car ever made, in your opinion?
Oh, I'm not you know, here's a weird thing. I went to pay my storage locker bill yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go into the lineup for the storage locker bill, and it's like too deep.
Yeah.
And the guy in front of me says, "Best car ever. Name it."
To
and
you?
Turns to me. Yeah, and I'm like, "I know nothing of cars at all." He's like, "Come on, any car." And I go, "The Batmobile?"
That car lost its wheel. It is not the greatest car ever. Yeah.
And he said to me, "You know, Jay Leno owns that car." Like, which one?
Because
there's been many Batmobiles.
Yeah.
Like, the latest one. Apparently, he's got it in his
museum.
His thing. Yeah. So, that kind of stopped, you know. But I'd say, my answer to that question probably would be the Batmobile.
Batmobile? Well, I mean, if that's...
Or the car that the Batmobile is based on, which looks like the Batmobile, except with all the bells and whistles.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I'm not a real car guy.
Okay. I love cars. I love muscle cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my... you know, I just think the height of... car manufacturer was 1969, 1970.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, so if you could own a Mustang or for me, my favorite car is the Charger. So I would like a 1970 Charger with the concealed headlights.
Would a Big Daddy Roth draw this car?
No, he tended to be a hot rod guy. So his cars would be something that would be chopped, lowered, you know, whatever else they did to cars.
You met Big Daddy Roth once?
Yes,
right?
I did. Yeah.
You interviewed him.
Yes, for Generic Drivel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he was at BOMAC, which was a car dealership here.
Right. That still has the sign.
Still
Would
has
you
the sign.
Object to the sign being
there? Well, I don't object to the sign being there. I just object to the
Toys
fact,
R Us on top of it.
Because there's a sign covering this classic sign, which was, you know, a Vancouver landmark, and now it has someone else's sign covering this landmark sign. This seems kind of pointless.
Toys R Us will be gone at some point, and BOMAC will remain.
Mm-hmm. And I'll always look at it and say, that's where I met Ed Big Daddy Roth, who was a very nice man.
I did a TV series based on some of his characters called Weirdos.
Okay.
Yeah. That is our Big Daddy Roth
Because
connection.
I loved his stuff when I was a kid. I loved to collect the Big Daddy Roth. They had playing cards, or like trading cards that had his monster drivers and stuff like that.
And what was the magazine he was in? Hot Rods, was it?
Well, there was Cartoons.
Cartoons, that's what I'm thinking.
Was one of the...
With a Z.
I don't think so. I think it was just Cartoons with a...
Really?
Just normal cartoons.
Interesting. Okay.
I have to look and see. It's hard for me to remember.
You don't have to look at nothing. You just have to keep talking cars. Keep going.
So, yeah.
So the Charger.
Charger with a 446 pack would be one car I would love to have for sure. And that's it. I wouldn't want to... I would hate to fall into the trap of buying a whole bunch of cars.
You don't want to be a Jay Leno.
So yeah.
You don't want the garage full.
So I feel like if you want to have like a Hemi Cuda, you have to get rid of your Charger and you can buy a Hemi Cuda. Because that would be nice too. A convertible Hemi Cuda, those are very nice cars.
Then let me throw this. Oh, go ahead. Please continue.
No, no, it's okay.
I was going to ask you best fictional car ever.
Best fictional car?
Yeah, you can use like a James Bond car. You can use like any car from any movie that you've seen that does not actually exist. Are there any cars that you would like that don't exist?
No, not really.
Nope.
To be honest with you. Like,
I do like the Black Beauty as well from Green Hornet.
The new one?
Like that new one is pretty close to the old one. Yeah, so yeah, I like the classic.
That's okay. That car, there's a scene in that movie that makes no sense to me.
The movie that just came out?
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably the only thing that made no sense in that movie. That was a very well put together. No, go ahead.
What's just the scene where they're driving through a light? And I think they run the red light or whatever. And so then they shoot a missile and destroy the red light camera.
Yeah.
But part of the car, one of the gimmicks of the car is that the license plate changes to something different. So what's the problem with the red light camera picking them up? Why do they have to blow it up with a ground to air missile?
That because the writer or producer probably had a ticket that day and said, add this to the thing. and the person who signed the checks went, good job, kids.
I think I would go with a fictional car. I would go with James Bond's classic Aston Martin, because when I was a kid, I had a metal model of that had like the pop up bulletproof shield that came up in the back and shot little darty things out, and then the hubcaps had these plastic they're supposed to be cutting blades that would come out from the, it had all those things on it.
Nice.
And it had an ejector seat in it, so yeah, it was quite large.
That's pretty great.
It was about a 5-inch model.
I'd say look that up, see if that's
existed. I no longer own it. But.
No, I know you no longer own it. I'd like to actually see what the heck looked like.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
Everyone just wait where you are, and I'm just going to go on the internet.
Okay, there he goes. This is internet music now.
No, I'm not going to. So, okay, next question?
Okay, good, because I know nothing of cars.
Wall-to-wall carpet.
My wife's a big hardwood floor fan, and we dislike our carpeting so much at the apartment that probably we're going to go carpet free for a good couple of years after we get our house.
Well, okay, they both have their pluses and minuses. I grew up with wall-to-wall carpet because I grew up in a house that was built in the 70s or built in the 60s, built 70s. My aunt always had hardwood floors, but of course she had a carpet on the hardwood floor. So where the hardwood floor was like
everyone just slid around
as a 6-inch gap. No, because there's ways to affix the carpet
Okay.
So there's like a 6-inch gap of hardwood around the edge of her living room, and that was the hardwood. Mm-hmm. And the rest of it was carpeted. So I never quite understood that part of it. Nowadays we have, we just leave it empty. So I cannot stand the sound of my dog walking in the kitchen. Our dog is not allowed in the kitchen when I'm around.
Well, he has to wear tap shoes.
So partly, I don't like dogs begging, so I don't like him in the kitchen sitting looking at me plaintively.
With his pencil cup?
Yeah. So he has to sit outside. But also, I just can't stand.
Your dog is not a veteran. I know he says he is, but he's not.
He is. He's a veteran of the psychic wars. So he's from the future.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that about Boy and his dog. But anyway, I just can't stand the that just drives me insane. So if the house was all hardwood, I would have to move out very shortly after
that. Yeah. One of my best memories as being a kid is listening to the radio and my mom winning wall-to-wall carpeting on some sort of radio.
Really?
Yeah, CJAD, Montreal radio.
Okay.
And it was like, most of this goes to Mrs. J. Boothby, who wins the wall-to-wall guy. And we had to go and get the carpeting.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you win stuff on the radio, I found out. Yeah. And then I used to call the radio station all the time to win stuff.
Did you win something?
I did. I used to win movie tickets that I was too young to go see.
The
7% Solution.
Okay.
And stuff like that. And I have to give them to my folks.
Okay.
But I would call in all the time for radio.
I've won twice.
What did you win?
I won tickets to see The Wall because I knew the name of the blues musicians who inspired the name of Pink Floyd.
Okay, which were?
Pink Anderson and Floyd Council.
Nice.
So I knew that. So I won tickets to see The Wall, which is not a good movie.
And Elton John got the John part of his name from what?
John Baldry.
Bang on. Well
and
played.
Elton from Elton Dean, who played saxophone in the band that they played in, which had a name like the Blues Company or something kind of weird. I can't remember the name of the band now. Sorry. But yeah, that's where his name came from.
Cool.
Elton Dean and Long John Baldry.
See? There. Put that in your trivia pipe and smoke it. And what was the other thing that you won?
I won was a Billy Bragg record because I was able to name his first album, which would be very hard now. It's like Life's a Riot with Spy versus Spy, something like that. Anyway, so I was able to name the name of his first album.
Oh, good on you.
And I won his second album, Vauxhall and I. Or no, it's not Vauxhall and I. That's Marcy. Oh, I can't remember the name of the second album.
I had to say who Sherlock Holmes's partner was.
Oh,
that's and I a... guessed Lucy Liu. I was way ahead of you my were time. I was also from the future.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Skip to the Lucy Liu.
I said Bilbo Baggins.
So next up is Portland.
Do we have time for deck talk, or how do we do? Let's just burn through these. We'll burn through these. We'll get to deck talk.
I don't know if we can. Well, okay. It's hard to burn through them. Portland, that's a hard topic to burn through.
I can get to Portland in 30 seconds.
Okay, Portland.
Portland. Hey, it's kind of relaxed and fun and artsy, and those donuts are good, and you don't have to put bacon on everything. Stop it. And, you know, Portlandia, I enjoy as a series. I know it bothers Dave. It makes me sad that it bothers Dave, but I enjoy visiting. And you're at Seattle, you always think, I want to go visit Portland. It's nice, and you enjoy it, and they got some good t-shirt shops, and it's fine, and I look forward to whatever is going to be the next Portland, which something will be at some point. Back to you, Dave.
Well, Portland has been the next Portland for a long time.
It certainly has.
Like,
but times move faster now, man.
The 50s. Faster. The Beats loved Portland. The hippies migrated to Portland. Portland's a weird town because it's this sort of lefty enclave in the middle of a very conservative state.
Yes.
The rest of the state is farmers and lumberjacks and fishermen.
Yeah.
And then you have this little weird place in the middle of all that. It has the greatest.
But the second that you call yourself weird, I don't think you're weird.
That's a problem.
It's like San Francisco when it was like, you know, when you think you're something, then you stop being that thing.
You're right.
And now you're marketing that thing.
That's
once
right.
you market the thing that makes you cool,
that's right.
it's no longer cool.
And I blame Portlandia for that. Portland has one of the greatest bookstores in the world, which is Powell's City of Books. And I never heard about it. Like, my mom and dad were not.
Nor should you. People keep that mum.
They weren't from Portland, but they lived in Portland. I was born in Portland. So I have a kind of an affection for it because it's my birthplace. And of course, I have no memory of it. I left when I was 4 months old.
Right.
But I still have this affection for it because that's where I'm from. And Lisa and I...
And you left because it was getting too popular.
It was getting too... I didn't want to be part of that trend.
That's right.
I told my mom and dad, goo goo gaga, and they moved up to Canada. But I think it was more because, you know, when you're by yourself as a new parent living in this place, it's scary. So they said, you know what? Our folks are in Vancouver. Let's move back there where we have a support system. But anyway... Lisa and I went down to this Farrier conference in Portland, and we were just driving around town. I'd never been to Portland before.
Those of you who don't know, Farrier is blacksmithing.
Blacksmithing, that's right, yeah. Okay. And so, there was this kind of national convention. It was in Portland that year, and so it was very close, so we went down to it. And I'd never been to Portland. This is my first time there.
Now, were they holding it there because you wanted a bunch of people that looked like old-timey blacksmiths anyway?
Because
that's what Portland looks like with now, the beards.
But it didn't then. This is the 90s.
Okay.
This is 90, probably 95.
All right.
So people look more like they had fallen out of a Nirvana truck.
Okay.
So we're just driving around and we see this bookstore. Well, we're sitting in a red light and I look over and I'm like, hey, look, point. There is, look at that bookstore. It's quiet. And then you look in and you're like, it's a city block long. Why? But it was nighttime, so it was closed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, holy crap, we're coming back tomorrow.
So you parked the car, went to sleep in the car.
We're going to camp out here. And we went in the morning. It's a fantastic bookstore because it has used books and it has new books.
Nice.
Together on the shelf. You know, and it had so much stuff.
I like
so
that when
stuff.
Stores have that, the mix. Yeah.
The last time we went down as a family to Portland, we spent $700 together in Powell's. All four of us bought a lot of books. That's what I'm saying.
That was the fine for stealing.
That's right. And outside of that, there's not that much else. I've never had like a great meal there.
Mm-hmm.
Although, oh no, I have. There's a great hamburger place. They're called Little Big Burger. And they're wonderful burgers. Really good. And their fry sauce is absolutely fantastic. So
I've heard good stuff through another podcast of a thing that I'd like to try called the Waffle Window there that apparently is
okay.
Savory and sweet.
But I haven't, but I'm not a real big foodie.
Are you saying
foodie.
Road trip to Portland?
I'm thinking that.
We'll talk about it. Okay. You might be right for time that we may have to just move on to deck talk today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can take these last two questions next week.
Okay.
Deck talk.
All
you
right.
know what? Big progress, everybody.
Wait, I have not done
Oh, sorry. Time. Sorry. Ignore what I said.
Okay, you ready?
I'm going to edit out that I said that.
All right. When you're alone and you want to go outside, you can always go on the deck. Deck talk. Go.
Thanks. I hinted at this, but big progress was made.
Big progress was
big
made.
Big progress. Last Sunday,
okay.
We had sun, so I was able to strip the tarp off the deck.
Dave was stripping in the backyard.
I was stripping in the backyard and calling to the neighbors to watch. And stripped it all down.
Cranked up. You can leave your hat on.
I got 2/3 of the plywood on before darkness fell on me. The problem,
and that's when the vampires in your neighborhood come out, which is why you've got to stop it exactly then.
Well, the problem I had was that I'm dumb. That was my biggest problem that I had when I was making it. Because what I did was I got the plywood, and it said, I read about how to put the plywood on. Like, I looked at the site about putting, because I want to have it done with vinyl deck, right?
Yeah.
So I looked on the site that's like a site where they do vinyl decking.
Right, it's called You've Got Wood.
And it had some advice on what to do for the plywood so it's properly applied. So it said it had to be cross, the grain had to run crossways to the joists.
Okay.
And then I had to start on the house side of the deck. Well, the problem with our deck is, and I think this was a mistake, is that we ran all the joists.
What are joists?
Joists are what the plywood would rest on. You know, when you look up at the ceiling, what the drywall is attached to, and what the ceiling, you know, the floor above would be attached to is the joists.
Right.
So when we did it, we ran them parallel to the house. So they all ran parallel 16 feet across, or around 15 something across to the, you know, down.
Makes sense.
Well, what I think we should have done was we'd run some like beams, like, you know, put together like three, you know, 2x10s, and then run against, like, inverse of the house, against the house.
Oh, okay.
The joists that way. I think that's what we should have done, but it's too late now. Can't cry over spilt milk. So when I was putting the boards on, I had to run them lengthwise away from the house, and then I put them down, and then I was standing there and I realized, oh, dummy, that should end at the joist, which it didn't because of the way we, so I had to take them up and cut them so that they followed along the joist. Well, the problem was doing
you
it that
fool.
Way.
Yeah. You fool! Okay, go
ahead. Problem with doing it that way was I was doing it rather haphazardly. And also, the house isn't straight.
Right.
So it's all crooked.
You believe measure nunce, cut twice.
measure never, cut many times. That's exactly right. So the problem is the house isn't straight. The house is crooked. So having me start with a crooked house meant that the boards were crooked. So I had to cut the boards at a different angle to follow the joist, which is straight. Because the house is crooked.
Right.
But I'm following their advice that I should start at the house side. And so I had to cut all these stupid boards at an angle. Well, this ate up a lot of time, by the way. Not just doing it, but also standing and scratching my head, looking at it and saying, oh, man, this is confusing. And then I realized when I had done that, what I should have done was put my next set of boards all perfectly straight on the next, on the joist, and then just drew a line and then cut those boards. And so they would have fit together rather well, right? But yeah. I didn't think about that until I'd done all this cutting.
Have you read the book, The Joy of Joists?
No.
Oh, it doesn't exist.
I don't believe it after that experience. So I got the next set of boards on, and that involves some cutting as well to make them fit because they also are following this weird angle. And then I started doing my last set of boards, and it was starting to get kind of dusky because I, you know, it was a Sunday, so I started after I came home from church.
It was getting dusky. You were getting musky.
And what's the word I'm looking for a service? We had a long service. So I was really resenting that while I was sitting
at
there.
At church.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, come on. How long is this service? Got to go home and work on my deck. So I didn't have lunch. Oh, no, I did have lunch. I had lunch, but then I didn't have dinner. I didn't have dinner because I was like, I don't want to waste precious daylight eating. So I was like, I'll eat when I'm done. So I worked till it was pitch blackout.
Yeah.
But I couldn't finish because one of the problems I had, as I cut the board, I got everything all nice set up, and then the two boards wouldn't come together because there was some problem with the board, I think. I don't know. It's weird. So it was very frustrating. So I was trying to work on that forever and ever.
I think we need more pictures of the deck, by the way.
Okay, I'll take some pictures of it.
Yeah, we need more pictures of the deck.
And so that's as far as it got. So I just laid the plywood on the end part of it, just so I could put the tarp up and it would all be supported by these boards. So they're not screwed down. All the other boards are screwed down somewhat. They still have to have because you're supposed to screw on the edge every 6 inches.
Right.
And in the center part every 8 inches. So I still have to put all those screws in. So I've just got it secured down right now.
You can read about that in Dave's book, Screwing on the Edge.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's fucking on the edge. That's the porno parody of it.
Again, there's no need for a parody.
Oh, sorry. Nope. So then the other thing I've done is I've got my stairs built up, partially built up. The platform has boards on it, or mostly boards on it. There's one that I have to cut down to fit in the center. And then the stairs leading up to that are done. So I need to do the stairs from the platform to the deck.
Now, if you had infinite money,
yes,
if money was no object,
I would pay someone to do this.
Would you pay someone to do this?
I would still do it myself.
Now, may I suggest something? Like, you're saying the deck is crooked because the house is crooked?
Yeah.
Let me suggest this. Instead of, fixing your deck, get special shoes. that would have you walking so that you would on a crooked stilts? Deck. Not necessarily. It doesn't have to be stilts.
No,
you
no,
have
no
to
the deck isn't crooked. This the house isn't straight. So when you go to lay the boards down straight,
I see. I thought it was at an angle. No. And so if you put on special shoes,
well, I mean the deck is at an angle because the deck has to be. It has to. I think it's a quarter every 4 inches. It has to is the angle. So the water runs off it.
Oh, that's
so it
smart.
Has to be.
And also,
have it
then
straight.
Raccoons will fall off.
That's right. They'll tumble off.
Yeah,
adorably.
Yeah.
Not adoringly, but adorably.
And your dog will go ah as well.
So yeah, quite a bit of progress. And I think you saw we talked about the video earlier where it was when I still had like just the tarp.
Yep.
We had this crazy monsoon. It was so noisy because the tarp was being hammered by the rain. Now I have the nice smell of wood because I have this new wood up, and so that's really nice. So when I walk in now, I can smell like fresh cut wood.
It's now,
nice.
is there any hope that the deck will be completed by our 100th episode? Because that would be a very special ending to the episode.
It would
if
be.
If we could see a picture of
the
deck.
It would be a happy ending.
Yeah.
Are
we going into our second 100 episodes with the deck still incomplete?
I don't know. We'll see. Because I'm not going to be home this weekend. I'm going for Thanksgiving. We're going up to my brother-in-law's cabin.
Okay. Getting confused by that, Americans, this is Canadian Thanksgiving.
This is Canadian Thanksgiving we're talking about, yes.
Right. We invented Thanksgiving. You guys borrowed it from us, and that's fine.
Do you know why it's different?
Oh, tell us why.
Because our growing season is shorter.
There you go. That's why.
Yeah, because we're farther north.
And because we use metric.
So you, when your growing season is done, mm-hmm. you then give thanks for what you've got through the year.
We also have, like a month later, apologies giving. Which is we just like say we're sorry for everything that goes on.
Yeah.
We cook a beautiful meal and then just apologize for how messy our house is, how dry the bird is.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe me?
I saw what a great apologizer you are.
I am terribly sorry then. How are we doing for time, my friend?
We better cut this off.
We better cut this off. And next week we've got a special guest coming in. Not the special guest for the 100th episode.
No,
different special guest.
It's a different special guest.
And we got special stuff happening. You know what? You best be listening up until the 100th episode. It's only going to get deckier.
Yeah, there'll be no deck talk next week because I'm going to be at the cabin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to miss, I think we're going to lose some audience.
We're going to lose a bit of audience.
But we still
you know what it
two
is?
Questions.
It's called the cliffhanger or a deck hanger, if you prefer.
That is what they call it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. You're wrapping this one up.
I think we've already wrapped it up. So I'll just say good night, everyone.
Okay. All right. Once again, Dave constantly says that it's nighttime. And it's whenever you're listening to it. We've clearly heard from one listener that they make dinner while it's going on.
Which happens at night.
It depends how early. It depends.
Yeah, he's making it at 2 in the afternoon, Ian.
Okay, fine. So I know some people in the morning. You know what? Let's not fight. Let's just admit I'm right.
I would agree with you.
I agree. Okay, that's good. fair enough. Done. Celebrity crush hat was you pick an age out of a hat that you were and who did you have a crush on then?
Oh, okay. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Let's
steal it.
Yeah. Let's do it. They gave it up. It's totally
it's totes
free.
Ours. That's right.
Totes ours.
What's public domain on the internet? It's 3 weeks not doing it. Salvage.